The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So wait a second. Now you're saying Georgia is probably not tonight. Michigan is probably not tonight. Wisconsin's not tonight?
I think there's a good chance that that's where we're sitting.
And Pennsylvania's not tonight.
Pennsylvania is strongly signaled, both before and then during the counting, that you know they're not going to have enough of the vote counted so that we can accurately classify what's going on there.
And North,
you know, we're not going to have a Pennsylvania answer until well into tomorrow, if even then. I mean, we're not going to get it tonight. There's no chance of that.
He is up 600,000 votes in Pennsylvania. So he can make up 600,000?
It is theoretically possible, yes.
Barack Obama, who I think, you know, if you're to lay responsibility for the destruction of America at any one person, I think it would be Barack Obama, the most deceptive president in our history and most anti-American. He just tweeted, you know, we may not know for a long time, days, and that's normal. In what sense is it normal? India, the biggest democracy in the world, gets its votes counted by sundown. Why can't we do that?
You're right, though. We're traumatized over 2020. You know how many people texted me during the night last night? Oh, here comes the ballot dumps. You know, this is when it gets fishy. You know, to have a nice election end in a way that it did on the same night as the election is something the entire country needed, Democrat or Republican, so we can all kind of breathe a sigh of relief.
It's still fascinating to me to just analyze some of these numbers, to crunch the numbers from Tuesday and to compare everything to 2020 and to see how God has exposed these people that actually stole an American election. Right before everyone's eyes. As Jesse said there, we were traumatized going into 2024 because of all that happened just 4 years ago. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Lots to get to on today's show. If my math is correct, speaking of numbers, I believe this is my 200th program this year. So we're well on our way to get well beyond 200 for the calendar year. Perhaps if we go to two programs a day, we could hit 400 one of these years. Probably will never happen. Hopefully that will never happen. In any event, it was fun while it lasted. Yesterday, we produced two big shows, the regular one at the 11 a.m. time slot here in the central time zone of the United States. And then the one last night, in case you missed it, that's titled, Gerald Fleury Was Right About Donald Trump. He was right. I think we have the clip of his message from June 1st. We've played it before. Here it is again.
They're doing everything they can to humiliate him, and they want to put him in jail. And God says, well, no matter what you do, I'm going to bring him back. And you're going to hear a message about what's going to happen to you and people that are disobeying like that and really worshiping the devil in a special way. But from the very beginning, brethren, we did say, he is coming back. And even now, if you were to look at it, you'd say, well, there's some people thinking, well, okay, he's probably going to win it if he doesn't get assassinated. Well, he isn't going to get assassinated. He isn't going to get assassinated, or how could he come back and fulfill a very great prophecy in Amos 7. From the beginning, We've always said that because it's in Bible prophecy.
He's there talking about Donald Trump throughout that particular clip. That was June 1st, earlier this year. And then 6 weeks later, God intervened to protect Donald Trump, to prevent him from being assassinated. And it was, I mean, you talk about high drama. You talk about this iconic photo that came out from that. One of many this year, as I've noted. But God saved his life. And God said, and we said it from day one after they stole it 4 years ago, he's coming back. I gave you all those quotes last night. Again, the title of last evening's program, Gerald Fleury was right about Donald Trump. That's at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Make sure that you go back and view that program. But crunching the numbers, and the numbers continue to come in. I think there's still like 8% of the ballots across the United States that haven't yet been counted. So when it's finally all said and done, Donald Trump's probably going to eclipse his numbers from 2020. I think it was like 74.2 million. Trump's near 73 million at the moment. Kamala's, I guess, 6 million behind. There's quite a few in California that haven't yet been counted, so she's probably going to close that gap just a little bit. But I gave you last night on the show some of the numbers from the presidents or those running for the office of president, Democrat and Republican, just over the last four election cycles. If you look at the total votes in 2016, that would have been Trump and Hillary, 136, almost 137 million total votes were submitted. And then this past Tuesday, so far, a little over 140 million, so a few million more than just 8 years ago. Probably you can add 5 or 6 more million to that by the time, again, everything is counted. But then 2020, it was 158 million total votes. That was the COVID year. That was the mass mail-in ballot year. That was when it took 5-6 days to count everything. You saw it there. We played it last night as well. Pennsylvania? You mean they can actually close the gap of 600,000-700,000 votes? Trump was winning in a landslide. And then they stopped counting. And then it took 4 or 5 days before, Joe Biden closed that gap. In 2016, Trump brought in 63 million votes. 4 years ago, 74 million. And as I say, he's probably going to pass that barely with this year's vote. And then, like I said last night on the show, Clinton brought in almost 66 million. Obama, 4 years before Hillary Clinton, he got about 65 million. Harris is now at about 68 million. I mean, that doesn't even really seem plausible in my mind. But still, it's in that neighborhood, mid-60s. 65, 66, 67 million. And then Joe Biden, 81,283,501. Still the most popular president in history by far. You know, what's interesting to me, there's all the analysis going in and coming out. Well, the ground game, I don't know if it was as good. And well, they kind of tripped and stumbled in this area. Here's where the Republicans really did improve. They got out the college vote and they increased their share of the minorities. I mean, people analyze this through and through. Where's the analysis from the world's greatest victory in American history? Where are all the books about Joe Biden's whatever it was? Was it the ground game? I mean, he basically campaigned from the basement. How did this happen? It's like Steve Bannon always says, if if they really and truly won with that figure, 81.2 million, they would have been bragging about that nonstop to this day. They don't even talk about it. The only time they talk about it is when they want to intimidate you into silence over the fraud, the rampant fraud. Our team has been crunching some of these numbers because, again, we can't know all the ways that they cheated in 2020, and we can't know every single reason why the numbers came out the way that they did 2 nights ago. But in 2016, the percentage of mail-in ballots for the Trump versus Hillary race, it was 18% mail-in. And then 4 years later, the year the fake president was installed, 41% of the ballots across the nation were mail-in. So it went from 18% up to 41%. I mean, in that year, they were mailing out ballots to people that didn't even request them. So just that change alone, just coming back to, yeah, we'll send them out. We want to send them out, but we got to go back to the state laws, which say that you've got to request your absentee ballot. 41% mail-in ballots in 2020. And then this year, it's an estimated 28%. I think something like 26 million fewer mail-in ballots than 2024. And even on that point, like Sam was pointing out earlier today, I mean, they in Pennsylvania, for example, 4 years ago, they didn't start counting these massive piles of mail-in ballots until the day of the election. So they had a plausible excuse as to why they needed three or four more days. This year, they were counting ballots ahead of time, and they didn't have nearly as many, so they didn't have the excuse that they had 4 years ago to say, you know what, we're going to need three or four more days. You did have the dear leader, though, for his part, like Tucker noted there, tweeting out now it's going to take 5 days. He thought everything was in the bag still. He thought the cheat machines would get him over the top. But without as many mail-in ballots, and then also Trump, he was just attracting more of the minority vote in Philadelphia and some of these places where they cheated so much. So they didn't have as big of a piece of the, you know, the voter roll pie as they did 4 years ago as well. And so in every state this time around, except Arizona, how do you figure that? How do you fit? Just as a sign of how different the tone was this time compared to last time. Fox News, I mean, they're fingers on the trigger. Yeah, we got to call Arizona. And you remember what happened with Arizona is that Trump continued to close the gap even after Fox News called the state for Biden until it was down to 0.4%. That was the margin. Trump's ahead. He's ahead by 5% in Arizona. And Fox still hasn't called the state. I think other networks have called it for Trump now. I'll get to an article from Axios in just a moment where it talks about just the different approach that Fox News took going into this election cycle. You heard Jesse there say, I can't even tell you how many text messages I got. Uh-oh, here they're going to shut it down. Here's where they start dumping the ballots in the middle of the night. And it didn't happen. Why? Why not this time? In 2016, well, just compare 2020, Republicans won 27 out of 27 toss-ups as far as the House of Representatives go. I mean, it was like a red wave. 27 seats in these toss-up districts. And we'll find out soon enough with respect to this year. It looks like we're going to gain maybe, two or three seats, Republicans, I mean. In 2016, Trump won 19 out of 19 bellwether counties. It makes you wonder, given that, how much cheating Hillary got away with that year. 2020, Trump won 18 of 19 bellwether counties. 18 out of 19. This year it was just 13 out of 19. Still most of them. He performed incredibly well in 2020. That's the point. And as he commented so many times, I mean, he increased his ballot total, his vote total, by like 11 or 12 million. I think with Obama, his first term compared to the second one, he actually went down. He lost votes the second time around against Romney. Again, these are just statistics, and I suppose there's various reasons from one cycle to the next why it could tilt down or tilt upward. But then 2020 for Biden, the basement candidate installed by the dear leader, 81.2 million votes. They rigged it. They rigged it. This was a tweet from one lefty on the social media sites. It says, really not trying to stoke conspiracy, but is it really feasible that Democrat enthusiasm at or near Obama levels, an insurrection, the fall of Roe v. Wade, Trump's SCOTUS immunity deal, and Project 2025 really yielded 15 million fewer blue voters? Help it make sense. This is the election was stolen denier. This is derangement thinking. How did we get 15 million fewer votes this time around compared to Biden? Help me understand this, someone, please. Well, I'll help you understand. They cheated on a mass scale. That's how this happened. Here's another one. I hope in the coming days someone is able to explain how we had record turnout but 18 million fewer votes than 2020. Both those things can't be true. They just can't figure it out. And it's so easy, isn't it? So much of it, I think, just does come down to the hordes and hordes of mail-in ballots that were just floating around the country 4 years ago. Now, Democrats were still pushing for that. They had Dinesh D'Souza, remember, at the end of his documentary, Vindicating Trump, he talked about Democrats pivoting to just printing ballots. And Sundance has something to say about the movements in Republican circles to counter that, to expose that, to prevent that from happening. And so for sure, as I've said over the last 24, 48 hours, there were quite a few Republican attorneys and activists that were ready this time around for the late night ballot drops, for the mysterious events, for the flooding, for, you know, the people needing to get some beauty rest instead of counting ballots until the wee hours of the morning, just like they did the other night. And it's all by 1 a.m., 2 a.m., it's all said and done. It's over. These radicals, they don't even know what hit them. My father said, this is back in a March 2021 trumpet. It's the one with the fake president on the cover and the asterisk. He says here, America's election crisis has taught us a lot. One crucial lesson is just how corrupt America's courts are. Nobody would look into it. Nobody was willing to expose it. There was plenty of evidence. There were hundreds and hundreds of affidavits. There was eyewitness testimony. We saw it in some of those hearings in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, Georgia. But no judge, no court would actually look into it, including the Supreme Court. My father says here, media sources accepted this at face value as proof, the fact that the courts wouldn't look into it. They accepted this as proof that the claims of fraud were baseless. I am convinced, however, that in many cases, the rulings told us less about the validity of the allegations than about the lawlessness of the courts. How many judges refused to overturn the election because their preferred candidate won or because they were afraid of the consequences of challenging that result? How many were afraid to challenge, to speak out? Jesse fairly well spoke out there in the cold open, you just heard. I was getting text messages right and left. How are they going to try to cheat this time? A lot of Americans were thinking that. It's as if God, knowing what the courts did, knowing what was swept under the rug, knowing that it's prophesied for Jeroboam to come back, and again, we still don't know all the ways, statistically, that God squashed the effort this time around, but he did it. He did it. You know, we talk a lot on this program about how God is exposing the lawlessness, and he is. And that's one of the main aims of this show. You get it every day, most often, every day. But you know, in the larger sense, what this program is here to do and to promote, it's to magnify God himself. You can see wonderful psalms and several verses in the book of Job about magnifying the great God, Almighty God. God said, no, not this time around. It's not going to drag out. It's going to be emphatic. And, you know, Joel Hilliker brought this out in our student assembly yesterday, but I heard it on Fox News even last night. The only way that you could come through November 5 this time around and have a relative period of peace and calm. I mean, look at around America. Look at how quiet it is. A lot of people were not expecting this. But as one of the commentators said last night, the only way that that could happen is if it was swift and decisive. And that's what Tuesday night was. It was clear. It was emphatic. Listen to, this is Stephen A. Smith. He's a left winger. I told you about Joe Scarborough and his round table yesterday having basically a truth bomb drop on the studio right before they went to air as they were just giving an honest take on the election. Stephen A. Smith, who is no fan, he is no fan of Donald Trump. He's a sports guy, I know, but listen to his take on the election Tuesday, clip 12.
Donald Trump's return to the White House is the greatest comeback probably in American history. 34 felony counts, 2 impeachments. I can't count the number of mistakes that he has made. When he departed in 2020 after the insurrection at the United States Capitol, we all thought he was finished. He was done. He went back to his hub at Mar-a-Lago in Florida, and the next thing you know, plotted a return to the White House that, regardless of what they tried to throw in his direction, nothing worked. Nothing worked. But when you think about leaders, one of the primary elements you're looking for from them is fight. Are you somebody that has alligator skin and a level of intestinal fortitude that few can rival? So when you got to go into the lion's den and deal with adversity, you're more than capable of doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if any of us can definitively say we could deal with what Donald Trump dealt with and still end up back in the White House. I expected a tough, tight race. What we witnessed was an annihilation. This was supposed to last, this debate about the election and how many votes, it was supposed to last probably until Thursday, Friday, maybe even into the weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, Fox News called it at 2 a.m. 2 a.m., we knew that Donald Trump had won back the White House. It was that kind of a romp, that kind of an annihilation. There are many, many things to insult Donald Trump about. There are many times we could have done it in the past. We can't do it today.
Total annihilation. Isn't it amazing how God took one election cycle, given what he allowed 4 years ago. He takes this one, and as I covered all day yesterday, he uses the numbers we see coming in to expose what they did in 2020. He's not letting them off the hook. And then God squashes their attempts to wipe it out again, to blot out the results again, and he does it quickly. And that makes the annihilation set in that much more deeply. As these people, their heads are spinning. In some ways, I'm still trying to process it all. But it's truly miraculous. 4 years ago, COVID was the perfectly engineered crisis needed to steal the election. Look at how they were manipulating narratives, lying, deceiving, cheating, stealing. Such a dreadful year in every respect. And, you know, it culminated in the election steal. They couldn't have done it without COVID. Listen to Jesse again from last night. This is clip two.
The Republic had been preyed upon for far too long by a greedy ruling class more interested in control than their own countrymen. Any threat to their power, no matter how minor, was met with the full force of the machine. It worked during COVID, but it doesn't work anymore.
It worked during COVID. The regime's intimidation tactics, but it's not working anymore. Americans won't stand for it. Americans have spoken. But behind it all, it's important that we give God the credit that he rightfully deserves. He's exposing the devil. He's exposing Antiochus. He's silencing Antiochus. That, too, is part of this incredible story. My father was talking about that several months ago. But just coming back to making a final point or two about the statistical anomalies. Sundance says, last night President Trump secured Georgia and North Carolina. Trump is on pace to have shattered every battleground state result and achieve 312 electoral votes, a resounding victory, or as Stephen A. Smith said, an annihilation. Sundance says, when it is prudent, listen to this, I will share more about the intercepted ballot printing operations. That, again, this was discussed at the end of D'Souza's documentary. For now, suffice it to say, several awesome groups were focused on fraudulent ballot nullification efforts via voter rolls, manipulated IDs, and challenges to the supervisors of elections. However, last year, after much thought and contemplation about strategic pressure points, I decided to focus our conservative treehouse effort on tracking ballot printing, subsequently notifying regional USPS postmasters of localized ballot printing operations that could create potential bulk mail fraud. So Sundance and others were hard at work, as were so many Republican attorneys that took a lot more steps ahead of time than they did in 2020. Now, I think another fascinating angle to this is just the media approach going into Tuesday night, particularly at Fox News, but even the other ones, CNN and MSNBC, they were calling the states at about the same time. I think Fox might have been the first one to say outright he's president. Jake Tapper had a hard time accepting that. But still, CNN, before the night was over, before Wednesday morning came around, they were announcing it. Donald Trump's the 47th president of the United States. This is an interesting article from the Trumpet Archive. Again, if you don't have a subscription to the Trumpet magazine, make sure you call our operators today and request a free one-year subscription so that you can get all of tomorrow's news today. You get it ahead of time because it gives you God's insight. So many of our articles, they're based on the sure word of prophecy. This one here is from just May of 2023. So a little over a year ago, year and a half, and think about all that has changed, the political landscape, everything that has changed in the last 18 months. It says here, why did Fox News cancel the biggest show in American news? They just fired Tucker Carlson. He had the most popular cable news show right up until April of 2023, just a year and a half ago. It says millions of people, including large numbers of Democrats, tuned in every night to see what Carlson's team had uncovered and what Carlson had to say about it. Bringing in such high numbers of viewers so consistently generated huge profits for Fox News. Losing him would be a major loss, and it was. Goes on and gives some of the numbers there. It says the host for the replacement show is failing miserably. I mean, they think they got around to Jesse Waters at some point, and he's doing quite well today. But it says here, Barack Obama, Chuck Schumer, AOC, Paul Ryan, and the Murdoch family disagree about a lot, but they have one thing in common. They hate Donald Trump and anyone who helps him. And since few people have helped Trump's Make America Great Again movement like Tucker Carlson, Obama and his acolytes wanted Carlson silenced. That is why Carlson was fired. Now, Carlson, for his part, he goes on and he starts his own network online. And as we also covered in that article, immediately he was getting tens of millions of viewers. And of course, he's been pretty active politically. He was right there speaking at the Republican convention. He was there at the Madison Square Garden rally. That's where he said Trump's going to win. At the time, though, he had to be silenced, right? Just like Trump had to be silenced after January 6th. Look at how all of these actions taken by the dear leader and his acolytes, look at how they've all backfired. When this article was written, you were in the beginning stages of the primary season. And I mean, most on the Fox News Network, they were on board with DeSantis and then Haley. They didn't really come around to Trump until earlier this year. And then you watch the coverage on Tuesday night and think, wow, at one point, there were two hosts on the panel that were saying, I can't believe the election desk hasn't called these two states already. I believe it was Georgia and North Carolina. So there were the hosts this time around egging them on. Come on now, let's get these results out. What a difference. What a difference. Listen to Jesse Waters, talking about all of the hoaxes and the fake narratives that you had to navigate your way through in the weeks leading up to election night. And yet still, Trump and his followers, they come out on top. And it was emphatic. This is clip 3.
We kept the faith in the face of last-minute hoaxes. Remember, Kamala was going to win Iowa. A comedian made a joke about Puerto Rico. Oh, my God, it's over. Trump's tariffs are going to wreck the economy. Really? Because the market today had its best day in 2 years. Trump did better with Puerto Ricans and beat her by 13 in Iowa. The American people don't like being lied to. Trump even did better with women than Kamala did with men. Imagine that. Wives didn't have to lie to their husbands. The so-called racist dictator shattered records with blacks, Hispanics, Jews, and college students. His margin in Springfield, Ohio, where they're definitely not eating the pets, went up. Trump, Mr. Muslim ban, won Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan. The guy who they said hated Hispanics won Miami-Dade County. That's the first time a Republican pulled that off since Reagan. And the funniest part of the election, and we've had some moments, was that Biden would have done better than Harris if he hadn't gotten whacked.
Everything backfired. Trump more popular than ever. Fox News finally getting on the Trump train. This is from Axios. Fox News's historic Arizona election call in 2020 wasn't premature. The network's longtime decision desk head, Arnon Mishkin, told Axios. But heading into this year's election, Fox News is doing more to ensure the public understands how, why, and when it calls certain races. So they did have a different approach. As much as the execs over there are never Trumpers, so many of them anyway, Paul Ryan, I mean, he's right there on the board. But they did admit to Axios. We went in and, you know, we had to be more transparent. We had to explain, you know, why we make the decision here or there. Now, why did they have to do this? Because of Donald Trump. It shows you how wise it was for him to not let it go. For 4 years, he's been saying Joe Biden did not get 81.2 million votes. For 4 years, he's been saying they rigged it, they stole it. And for 4 years, the regime has been trying to cover it up. That's why they unleashed the Fedsurrection on January 6th. They had to cover up the fact that Congress was about to look at the evidence, something that the courts wouldn't do. God has been working in mysterious and miraculous ways. Even if many in the Fox News executive branch didn't want to do it, they did do it. They did come into this election with a very different tone. It says Fox News' decision desk isn't responsible for distributing results to thousands of newsrooms globally, like the Associated Press and some of these other outfits, but its coverage is expected to be the most watched of any major network on election night. And so there they were 4 years ago. They were leading the charge to take down Trump, even if it meant mass cheating, even if it meant calling races too early. And then here they are 4 years later, and they're backing Trump. They're supporting Trump. There was a difference. And in some cases, they were the exact same hosts. How does this happen? You have to magnify God and his influence. You have to keep coming back to the fact that God, like I showed you at the top in that clip from my father, God said he would come back, and so God orchestrated everything that needed to be orchestrated to ensure that it happened. And here you've got Trump in his acceptance speech. He gets up there and says, you know, this is of God. This is of God. I'll play it for you at the end of the show if I have enough time. Maybe I'll take a few extra minutes. We'll see. This is Jesse Waters. Again, another angle to this story. The obvious silencing of the dear leader, something my father's been talking about for many months now. Here's clip one.
Sources tell Primetime that there's rumors Obama was annoyed with Hillary for backing Kamala so early. It forced his hand. The Clintons and the Obamas put their legacies on the line, and it blew up in their face. Now Democrats want to coup the coup leaders. Quote, the team that's there, it's time for them to retire. We need a whole different strategy. The day of Obama and his geniuses are over. They've been left behind. They're out of touch with the American people. The Democratic Party is out of touch. The Democrat kingmakers came close to pulling off a political heist, but they didn't finish the job. Obama, Schumer, Pelosi haven't publicly accepted any responsibility for kamikazing their own party.
The day of Obama and his geniuses, as Jesse said there, it's over. Kevin O'Leary, the other night, I played the clip yesterday. He said the influence of Obama, it's gone. How does this happen? I mean, that is truly miraculous. Just think about it for a moment. Think about the way they treated him, whether it was at CNN or Fox. Just 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, they swooned. It's like my father says in America Under Attack. They worshipped him. Not now. Now there's all the infighting. And now Obama's being silenced. You step back even farther. Look at the bigger picture, to go back to General Flynn's point, about how that if they would have just If they would have just let Trump win in 2020, which he did it lawfully, they'd be very near the end of Donald Trump's second term right now. But they couldn't, they just couldn't resist the opportunity to steal it, right in front of everyone's eyes, using COVID, of course, and other factors as a cover. But still, 81.2 million. This was, I think this was the Daily Caller. Maybe you'll see it on the video. But they put together this this video basically building on that point that General Flynn made some time ago on this program. Clip 8.
Democrats thought taking the presidency in 2020 was a big win for them. Wrong. They would have been better off letting Trump win. A 2020 Trump presidency would have seen him being stuck with a Democrat-controlled House and Senate. He would have been a bit stifled. Now, he's got the numbers in the Senate to confirm anyone he wants, and he's looking to have the House too. Trump will likely be able to do anything he wants to do. Big beautiful wall, anyone? Joe Biden was able to appoint a Supreme Court justice due to liberal Stephen Breyer playing ball and retiring. But now, Trump is likely going to be able to pick Clarence Thomas's replacement, and maybe Samuel Alito's replacement. And uh-oh, Sonia Sotomayor has been having health problems and might have to retire sooner than later. And guess what? He can pick anyone he wants and the Senate will confirm. No need to moderate the pick. A 2020 Trump presidency would have kept him with Mike Pence and his slew of establishment figures. All that he's been through since he's left office, I'm sure, has awakened him to the true nature of his enemies. And now he's picked up a team of super friends lined up, ready to destroy the deep state, including Elon Musk, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Ron Paul, Tulsi, and of course, a certain based hillbilly. Not to mention, Trump has managed to build his voter base and win in such an expansive way that pundits have described it as a political earthquake. The landscape of the electorate has likely changed in MAGA's favor for an entire generation. So ask yourself, Democrats, was this worth it?
Who's next?
If you look at 2020, as I said last night, he did. I mean, lawfully, he remained in power. He was the rightful president. But they stole it. He left office peacefully on January 20th, 2021. Democrats treated him like he was still president in many ways, politically at least. But think about the difference, as this video points out, between a term for President Trump that would have continued on from his first term and the one that he's about to begin. Think about how much more power he has going in. And then consider that 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7, I mean, it really does speak of this man coming in the spirit of Jeroboam, having king-like powers. Well, of course, in Jeroboam's case, he was a king. This is from Axios this morning. The most powerful Republican of the modern era. They're writing this about Donald Trump. Axios can't stand Trump. Donald John Trump has vanquished the Bushes, the Clintons, the Bidens, the Obamas, and the entire establishment of both parties. Why it matters. Trump is stronger than ever, backed by a party wholly remade in his image and opposed by demoralized and defeated Democrats. How did this happen? How did God do this? Leave aside the head tilt for a moment. That was obviously God intervening. But look at what he's done these past 4 years. He couldn't be farther into the wilderness on January 7th, 2021. He loses his Twitter account. He has no voice. He's banished. He's hated on both sides. The Uniparty stands firmly against him. Fox News, all of them. Trump will come to power better organized, better staffed, and exponentially better positioned to dominate his party and the nation than he was last time. What a blunder. What a mistake for the Democrat Party, for the dear leader. They stole it, and this is how it turns out for them. It's like my father wrote in March of 2021. Look, the election steal is not the end of the story. Here we're getting to the end of the story, though. Trump promises to stretch the immense powers of his presidency with historically wide latitude from pliant conservative Supreme Court. A new conservative media ecosystem centered on Elon Musk's X will amplify Trump's power and reshape America's information wars. It says, and efforts to prosecute him are likely to end. We got that clip yesterday. Yeah, Jack Smith is going to disappear. Isn't that the book by Lee Smith? Disappearing Donald Trump. This is what they've aimed to do. And now these people, these persecutors, they're about to disappear. Jack Smith is about to vanish. It says here, Trump's victory was astonishing in its sweep and scope. All but two states, Washington and Utah, went more heavily for Trump on Tuesday than in 2020. So they steal it, they rig it in 2020, and he becomes more popular than ever before. This is Axios. The big picture, the roughly half of America opposed to Trump is left with little solace and even less federal power. Trump's romp flipped the Senate to Republican control, and the GOP is on track to keep the House. Democrats are left without a leader or a clear ideological identity after Vice President Harris ran a campaign light on ideas and heavy on emotion. She underperformed Biden's 2020 showing across the... She underperformed. Jake Tapper. Holy smokes! She didn't outperform him anywhere? That's right, Jake. We've got to put that in the end of the year montage. How do you explain any of this? Unless you know that God is real. It's like that American Thinker piece that I read through a few weeks ago. You know, this atheist. Lifelong atheist. He says, I saw July 13 and I saw God's intervention. If Trump goes forward now and wins the election, I'm a believer. Atheists are having their minds opened, at least to the fact that God is creator, that God is alive, that God is intervening. As I've said so many times, I mean, we've got to take it a lot further than just acknowledging God. It says Trump can brag of a new coalition brimming with record high Hispanic support, working class zeal, and a surge in younger voters. And any restraints from anti-Trump Republicans in Congress or inside his White House are gone. All the restraints, or as the Democrats like to put it, the guardrails, they're gone. The backstabbers, they're gone. The rhinos, they're like Liz Cheney and Kinzinger, they're out. He's got support from Fox News. I mean, they're just giddy every night. From Laura Ingraham on. They're excited. And lots of other Americans are as well. Axios says, Trump sources tell us he'll consolidate power by steering who runs the House and Senate and unleashing his agenda out of the gate, starting with an immigration crackdown. It's going to happen fast. It's going to be fast and furious. And there's no Mike Pence in the office next door. What a huge difference that is alone. These are remarkable changes in just 4 years. As my father said, this is not the end of the story. There's more to come. The hand of God, that's what we're here to magnify. Listen to Jesse Waters as he talks about the next 4 years and even some of the momentous events to occur that's really going to be putting America on the world stage. Clip number four.
Trump is going to be presiding over America's 250th anniversary. How poetic. Oh, and in L.A. Summer Olympics and the World Cup. What a perfect fate. The Never Trump movement has been vanquished. The The lawfare is over, more on that later, and House and Senate troublemakers have all disappeared. While we fight to fix the economy, crime, and the border, we also need to get to the bottom of Butler and what really happened that day. And we deserve to see the Epstein materials, the JFK files, and the Diddy tapes. That's not revenge, that's justice. Last night was the first day of American justice in a very long time. And now Trump has a clear runway to do what he's always wanted to do and what we need him to do.
Donald Trump's been talking about a coming golden age for America. And really, when you see what Jeroboam in 2 Kings 14 has to war to recover, to regain what was taken away from him. 2 Kings 14:26, God saw the affliction of Israel, and it was very bitter, and there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. The affliction was so bitter, God intervened so that the devil didn't or couldn't blot out the name of Israel. He saved Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. It says in verse 28, now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did, and his might, how he warred, and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah, for Israel. He warred not just to survive, he warred to recover. And here he is now talking about, you know, a golden age, fixing what's been broken. You can look at Saving America from the Radical Left, that's from back in 2018 at the Trumpet, and see how God has prophesied that Jeroboam is to recover all of this wealth, this power, this strength. He uses the word power in the passage I just read to you. King-like powers. And you listen to Jesse, you listen to that montage or that two-minute bit from the Daily Caller, and it's remarkable to think about how strong his position is now compared to what it would have been in January of 2021. I'll conclude here. I think this has a little bit of music in the background, but it's the acceptance speech that Trump gave Tuesday night, or I guess early Wednesday morning. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll finish off with clip 11.
Many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason. And that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness. And now we are going to fulfill that mission together. We're going to fulfill that mission. The task before us will not be easy, but I will bring every ounce of energy, spirit, and fight that I have in my soul to the job that you've entrusted to me. This is a great job. There's no job like this. This is the most important job in the world. Just as I did in my first term. We had a great first term, a great, great first term. I will govern by a simple motto, promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises. Nothing will stop me from keeping my word to you, the people. We will make America safe, strong, prosperous, powerful, and free again. And I'm asking every citizen all across our land to join me in this noble and righteous endeavor. That's what it is. It's time to put the divisions of the past 4 years behind us. It's time to unite. And we're going to try. We're going to try. We have to try. And it's going to happen. Success will bring us together. I've seen that. I've seen that. I saw that in the first term when we became more and more successful. People started coming together. Success is going to bring us together. And we are going to start by all putting America first. We have to put our country first for at least a period of time. We have to fix it. Because together we can truly make America great again for all Americans. So I want to just tell you what a great honor this is. I want to thank you. I will not let you down. America's future will be bigger, better, bolder, richer, safer, and stronger than it has ever been before. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.